is good. Brother Paul, we're so glad you're with us tonight. We really are. And we've enjoyed tremendously the Word of God and the Spirit of God that's with you. And we want you to come right now. Take your liberty. God bless you. Amen. God bless Brother Paul. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let's put our hands together and praise this God. He is a good God. Hallelujah. Ribababababa. Shengarababuria. Thunderabababa. Shikarababuria. I sing my curia baburia. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated, please. As I promised yesterday, I'll try my best not to be excited. Because when I'm excited, like I was watching when I was speaking, oh my, I was excited here. Maybe people did not understand what I said. But you know what? The Holy Ghost can do it for you. You know, He's a good interpreter. We cannot do like He can. He's the best. None can do like He can. And I know mostly like this time when things are very hard, this is when we need Jesus more than any other time. And as I was saying, I thank God for this church. Norwich Tabernacle, let me say, you don't know what you have. You don't know. Until when God will reveal to you what you have, that's maybe when you'll get a smile and say, God, thank you for that. For some time we don't understand what we have. You know, the apostolic message that is preached to you every day in this church, it costs some people too much to come and hear the word apostolic gospel. For example, I'm not going to that, but maybe if I get another time, I'll give you my history in apostolic. That, but now I'll just start where I left yesterday. And you know what? I left people hanging yesterday. I didn't like that. But even if I just start giving the testimony, I can give it for 2 hours. But I just want to use a few minutes here. And then I'll cut it and then give you the other tomorrow. You know, or the other day when the Lord permits. And I want just to thank God for the pastor here. And he's a good man of God, a humble man of God. You know, what he's doing, if you're given 15 minutes, you just surrender and say, no, I cannot do that. It's so hard for me. So I left yesterday when we went to see my pastor. That's where I left yesterday. You know what? When I went to see my pastor, and I said, yes, I want to teach this man, and I want to baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And my pastor said, yeah, boy, you can make it. And then I said, yes, that's what I want. Just give me a scripture. And then we went to the scripture, went through the scriptures. You know, he tried to interpret the scriptures. He tried to interpret the scripture. It's just like the same to say. I said, I don't want that. I want the exact word that is used in the scripture. And then, you know what? They were just using that word that time because and many reasons. I said, you know what, Pastor? I don't want anything less than the word of God. So get me the word of God where it says you will be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And one person, because Alexander was a good man, he said, I don't want two people. I just want one person, just one, that was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then I will agree with you. That's what the pastor said to me. Well, you see, one person? Yes, I want just one person. I don't want two. Only one. And then tomorrow morning, we just carry him in the river and baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, it was good. And I was excited that time, jumping, you know, I'm going to baptize him. He will be my first person to be baptized. So he's a great preacher, but I'm going to baptize him. He don't know the truth. My pastor could not get it. Now I say, no, I don't know what I'm going to tell this man. And this man came very early in the morning in my house again. Come and sit down. Oh, Paul, here I am. I have a Bible here. We can use your Bible. He said, I'm not going to use my Bible. We are going to use your Bible. And I said, yes, fine. Let us use your Bible. And my Bible is the same. Okay, let us use. Which version do you like? You like King James? You like New England? Whatever you want. The version you want. Then I said, I went with the pastor through, but we didn't get it. But I am very sure I have heard my bishop and my pastor preaching about the baptism of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So it must be there. And he said, brother, what I need is you to help me with one scripture. I said, but I know, I went to Matthew again, 28 verse 19. I said, you see, this is what Jesus said. Go ye therefore, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then he asked me, we agreed yesterday that Father is not a name. So let us try to find a name. I said, I know one thing. We have appointment with my bishop. And I know he have a big concordance and dictionaries. We will get that. We will get it. So I didn't have a word to say, so he left. And it was a very sad night. I couldn't sleep. I tried to read every book I had. I went to my catechism. We had a good catechism. Do you have catechisms here? One of the prayer book? When the prayer book, all is saying the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. All is saying, but does not refer to a scripture. It does say that, but there is no reference in the scriptures. And I'm sorry, I didn't get it. So I went to the pastor the next morning I went to the pastor, and I was mad this time. I said to the pastor, you know what? You have to tell me the truth now. Pastor, you have to tell me. If we don't have this, let us agree that we don't have it. He said, no, it is there. It's only that I cannot get it this time, but it's there. Then we agreed we can go and see the bishop. You know, we don't have cars, and we were just walking. We walked about 6 miles to go and see the pastor, the bishop there. We walked, we got him. He was just sitting under a tree somewhere in his yard. And he said, oh, pastor, I know you have good news. And I smiled and said to him, you know what, bishop, we have good news. We have a person to be baptized. And then he said, you come to me to baptize somebody? You know, it's not normal to take somebody to the bishop to be baptized. We pastors baptize them. And then now to take a person to the bishop, that was not normal. It looked like awkward. So I said, he said, you want me to baptize somebody? I said, no, but we want you to give us a scripture. Oh, yes, come on, we'll come. And then we were given seats there, with that Christian, I don't know what I can say about it. It's just with Christian rhythms of greeting and sweet words, you know. Then we sit down with sweet words and a good comfort, saying, yes, we are going to have the Word of God. Can you get your Bible? I said, I have my Bible here, and you have your Bible, the pastor have your Bible. And the pastor shoot the first bullet. You know what he said? Paul is mad with me because I didn't get the scripture that say we can baptize somebody in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And now, you have to get me one scripture so that we can convince this man. His name is Alexander. He's from South Africa. And he is sowing bitter seeds in our congregation. And you know, Paul is a good man. And we have been with Paul for many years. And now, about 2 years, he has been very good. But now he's turning up to be very bad because of this man. We have to try our best now to make sure that we get the right thing. And then the bishop said, thank you very much. That's good. Paul, open your Bible. Sure. I opened my Bible and I was excited. And my heart was beating very hard because I knew I'm going to get the scriptures. He opened Matthew 28 verse 19, the same we have been talking about. See, this is what Jesus said. And we do baptize because we are Jesus' followers. We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I said, Bishop, with all due respect, can you give me where apostles baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? And he said, yes, they all baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All scripture says that. He said, give me one. Then he went, asked who that is. He didn't like that. He said, no, that. And you know, always we were reading that. The other days we have been reading that, teaching the Bible about the same scripture of Acts 2:38, but saying in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And because of ignorance, we did not read the Bible. We had memorized it, so we were not following word by word. What we were just saying is what we knew. Oh, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He went in Matthew 19, verse 5. Said, the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, he got the scripture now this time. He went to Acts 8, where Philip was baptized. And they all went in the water and baptized him. But the question was, in whose name? Now, I said, praise, if there is no record of being baptized in the name or in the titles here, you cannot quote that scripture to that man. Because this man once, where the Bible, one person was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, we were there about 7 hours trying to be convinced that to say Jesus Christ is the same as saying the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I said, then, why don't we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ? They said, no, because our tradition does not allow that. I got it now. This is tradition. It is not the word of God. I have now to take care of my soul now. I have to take care of my soul. Not anybody's soul, now my soul. I went to that man, Alexander. And he came, it was, that time was, I think it was Wednesday, and it is said until Friday evening. He came to my house. And he said, I know, Paul, you have the scriptures now. I said, yes, I have. And I told him, we went through with my bishop, we didn't get it. And I'm sorry, I have tried my best to get. And then, I have not even one scripture that say baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The first thing he did, he said, you are a good man because you are trying to seek the truth. I say, do you have the truth to give me? Please, give me the truth. And then he went to the scriptures. And let me tell you, he was the best man that I've ever met in this life. He was not quarreling me. He did not curse me when he was teaching me. He was very polite. You know what he said? Let us go to the scriptures. The first scripture he went was the same that we were. Matthew 28 verse 19. But now he said, let us know the name of the Father. He just went to the scriptures and he went to Isaiah 9 verse 6. And you know what he said? And to us a son is given, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. He got the first point now. He said, everlasting Father? He said, yes. He said, how did we know? How can we know that that is Jesus? And he went to Matthew 1, verse 18 to 21. And he was reading. Emmanuel. My. He interpreted God with us. The same scriptures that you have been reading. Matthew 1, verse 18 to 21. And he said, Emmanuel is God with us. Oh my. I'm telling you, I was ticked like nothing. I said, I don't know how I can defend myself now here. And he went where I cannot go all this because it is in the scriptures. He went where Thomas, we call him Thomas. And when he was shown by Jesus Christ the marks, you know the first thing he said, my Lord and my God. My. I start now seeing the right now. He called himself God now. He's saying he's God. Come on, he said, that's not enough. Come on, I said, now, I don't know what I'm going to do now. He went to John 8, and I think that one we can read. He went to John 8, 14 verse 8 now, sorry. And this one we can read because it is so good, because it's Jesus himself who is saying. And sometime, I don't know what I'm going to do with my theologians, friends. Sometime, if they don't know this, they're in trouble. And I went verse 8 and said, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will sufficient to us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And he asked me, who was speaking? I said, Jesus. And then, what did he say? Whoever have seen me, have seen the Father. Come on. I said, now opening my eyes to see the truth. And you know what? I say, this is the truth. He gave me about 20 scriptures to go and read. And maybe another time we'll read those scriptures. But the problem was not there. When I went back to see my pastor, we discussed it with him, and I said, if this is the truth, why don't we go with it? The pastor said, you know what, Paul? You are possessed by demons now. You are possessed with demons. And what we have to do is to rebuke these demons. Let us pray. He prayed, Father, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. My Jesus. He said all. And he was laying his hand on me. Because he's my pastor, I could say nothing. But in me, there was something telling me, you have the truth. And when the morning, Sunday morning now, I went to the church. When I went to the church, I was to give the testimony. He said, I will not give the testimony that day. And I was a boy that, an elder who was like a deacon, who is always with the pastor here. When he wants water, he gave water. When he wants carry his Bible, anything like that. I was a very active man. And I was just saying, yes, sir. Everything, yes, sir. But there's something in me telling me, you are living in lies. See, God, what am I going to do with this pastor? You know what I did? In the fellowship, he allowed me, it was Wednesday night, he allowed me to give a testimony. I said, I met a man, and his name is Alexander, and he has been giving the truth of the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And in our church, we had ordained a lady to be the pastor. And that pastor was a woman, and I have respect with women. please allow me to say this, that I have a lot of respect to women. But Alexander told me, they can be evangelists, but they cannot be ordained as pastors. I said, but we have one pastor here, and she's doing very good. I said, I don't mind how she's doing. I'm just reading you the scripture, and this is the truth. I say, now I'm putting myself into a total problem now. And then, because she was preaching that Wednesday in the church, I said, and that brother told me, it's not scripture for a woman to be a pastor. And she was to preach that night. I'm telling you, she stood up strongly and said, there is no Jews, all Hebrew, all woman, all man in this gospel. We are all one in Christ Jesus. You know what? I was just, after that, I was ready to ask her, can you tell me one lady who was ordained to be a bishop or a pastor in the scriptures? Because that's what Alexander told me to ask people now. I ask her after that. I'm telling you, she was ready to fight me. And she did it. She fought me. The whole sermon was me and my wife. And I'm telling you, she used the hardest word she can use against me. But I was there crying because I'm very innocent. It's the gospel. If somebody told me this, I don't know. But somebody told me this. Even if it's not the truth, then save me from this junk. If you can save me from it. Because it's the scriptures. And then I went to her after sermon. I said, please, pastor, I do respect you a lot. But I heard a gospel that is more than what I can hold in me. Please, can you give me a scripture where a pastor woman was ordained to be a minister, and then that will be fine with me. She said, yes, I have many scriptures. Say, Deborah, she was a pro. I said, I know Deborah was, and she was a judge. That's very good. Are you a judge or a pastor? Oh, see, I have another one. In the book of Romans 16, verse 1, there is a lady, and her name is Voibe. She was a deaconess. I said, that's true. Are you a deaconess or a pastor? She was very mad, and she went. And then she called the bishop. I said, there is a man here who is disturbing everybody. I think we have to kick him out of the church. And you know what? After that sermon, and after questioning her about the ministry, she was ready to fight with me, even if it's carnal. And then I was called by the board of governors of the church. And you know what? Alexander was just like a prophet. He said that, brother, be strong. They will call you in every meeting. And don't lose that chance to explain them the baptism in the name of Jesus. They called me into a pastor's meeting. And it was a big pastor's meeting because the whole diocese, pastors met on a Saturday. And they put me at the center and said, we want to tell you the truth about the scriptures. And I told them, can you give me a chance to defend myself? They said, yes. I'm telling you, I had the whole list of the scriptures that I was given by Alexander. Now I was to defend myself. And the rules of that church was, the rules of the church was, you cannot cut somebody that is defending himself unless he's finished. So I had given a full chance to defend myself because the rule of the church does not allow anybody to be interrupted when he is going on. So I was given a chance. I went to the books of prophets. I started just with Matthew 28 verse 19. I went to Isaiah 9:6, where I was taken by the same man. And I went back to John 14. I went Isaiah 7:14. And I went back to John 14. I went to Matthew 1 verse 20, verse 18 to 21. I went to Acts 19 verse 5. I went to Acts 2 verse 38. I went to Acts 10 verse 42, 43 until, I will read this. And I said, here I stand before this congregation. I would like one person to stand and challenge the scriptures I have given. Amen. They all looked at each other. Do you have a scripture? He is asking, any one person that was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the scriptures. And they looked to each other and said, they looked to the senior pastor that was with us. Do you have a scripture, sir? He did not have a scripture. He said, we are going to make another meeting with the bishop. And we will answer you. At that time, I was not to defend myself. It's only to receive the answer. Let me go to the scriptures and then I'll tell you what happened after that in another sermon. God bless you. My Jesus. It is good. It is good. I will give you all. I'm telling you, I'll give you all. But let me just, just for the sake of time, if I start preaching that, it will be a whole day speaking about that. Just give me a chance to give you what I have today from the Lord. I had a good scripture that I was to read, but when I went to the computer and I was trying to come up with what I can teach today, you know what? God keep off everything that I had. I had very good notes I was trying to make. But God keep, at the last minute, about 10 minutes, He just printed it about 3 minutes before we started. Before we started this sermon. So this is hard from heaven now. It's just hard. If you can eat hard food, this is hard food. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us put our hands together and praise this God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. I love you, God. Uri babobo. Handera babobo. Shikera babosariba. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We adore you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are my God. You are my God. Oh, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. I first must say and have this command that I do respect them that baptize in the name of the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But they are wrong. With all due respect, they are wrong. And we have some time to sacrifice and tell the truth. I've gone a wrong way with this apostolic. I wish I had time to complete until when I am here in Norwich now. But I will tell it all. I'll tell it as it is. But can we all stand, please, and open our Bibles in the book of 1 Kings 6. And we are just going to start with the first verse. 1 Kings 6. I can get a glass of water. My God. There's, as I said, my name is Bishop Paul Mbugua. Paul Mbugua. I'm from Kenya, Africa. Kenya is in East Africa. And the population of our country is about going to, I think it's 30 million now. 30 million. And truly, we don't have really apostolics. in Kenya. I've been in radio in our country and also in the TV sometime, preaching apostolic doctrine, and I'm called all names. They call me a cult because I preach about the baptism of Jesus' name, and I believe that all that have the scriptures is only your authority that we can have. We can speak it as an authority. And I do carry the Bible not as a novel, but as my guider. And praise the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, this is it. 1 Kings 6 verse 1. Now, if you have the word of God, say amen.
Amen.
If you have the Bible, if you don't have the Bible, can you say amen?
Amen.
That's good too. Yeah. I have mine. Okay. 1 Kings 6 verse 1. And I read. Now the sons of prophets say to Elisha, see, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, and each of us get there alone, and let us make a place for us to dwell there. And he answered, go. Then one of them said, be pleased to go with your servant. Can we all say that? Be pleased to go with your servant. Again, be pleased to go with your servant. And he said, I will go. So he went with them, and then they came to the Jordan. They cut down trees. Can we say, they cut down trees? Once more, they cut down trees. But as one was his felling a log, axe head fell in the water. Can we read that? Axe head fell in the water. Can we read it again? Axe head fell in the water. And he cried out, Allah, my master, it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? Can we all read that, please? Where did it fall? When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw. It is there. And make the iron fraught. And he said, take it. Can we all say that? Take it. So he reached out his hand and took it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are a God, and before you and beside this there is no other God. Father, you are my Savior, my God. I pray that today you guide me to all the truth of these scriptures, O Lord. Send your Holy Ghost to be with me, O Lord, as I speak. Anoint my lips, O Lord, that I can speak your oracles now, O Lord Jesus. Help me, O God, to deliver this from your heavenly throne, O Lord, and give to your children, O Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you bless me now. Bless everybody that is here, O Lord. Open our spiritual ears, O Lord, that we can hear from you, Lord Jesus. Open our minds, O Lord, our hearts, O Lord, our minds, so that we can understand you, Lord. Send your Holy Ghost, O Lord, that you can cover this church today, O Lord. And everybody that is listening to us, O Lord, we pray that you reach them where they are. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And every saint say, amen. You may be seated. As I promised, I'm going to be very careful. I'm not going to be excited, because this is another good scripture, and the Lord have just given me this to read it to you. I'm thinking whether maybe it can be a word of life too. Amen. Today, I want to speak when the axe falls down. When the axe falls down. You know, in the life that you are living, sometimes it's very hard. And if you can go one by one in these scriptures, you can see one thing. This man was a good man. In every church you will go, listen, there is a wise man in the midst of multitudes. And please, if you can note, you will get one wise man in the midst of multitudes. This is what happened. They were ready to go and cut some logs to come and build a big house. And one man who was wise, you know, in their midst, he said, "Man of God, we cannot leave you. Let us go with you." And now, there was a reason why this man said, "Master, go with us." You know why? Because many of us, as I said yesterday in the yesterday's sermon about Pelina, we forget to go with Jesus and we leave him in our churches when we are going home, and when we meet problems and troubles, we try to fight it by ourselves, and it brings a lot of problems because we have left Jesus in our churches with our pastors, with our elders, with our church, and we go without Jesus. So let me tell you one thing. It's very risk to go without Jesus. All the days of your life, do you want to have a good life? It's bad to go without Jesus. In my country, we use axe. When we are cutting firewood, we use a lot of firewood. We cut with axe. How many of you know axe? Yes, axe, there is a steel thing which is sharp there, and we put the stick there so that we can cut what? Now, when this man went to his master, he said, "Master, please, go with us." And the master said, "Yes, I will go with you." And then when the master said yes, he went with them. Look, one thing I want you to note is this man was doing something good. Because he was going to do something that will be useful and good to the all of the members. Because they were going to cut trees so that they can build a bigger place for them, because the place that they were living was a little place now. So they had to go and build more. They were to do something good. But I want you to note here, in verses 5, please. "But as one was his felling a log, his axe head fell into the water." When one of them was cutting a tree, he was trying his best, doing something good. But the axe head fell down. I want you to think here. The axe head fell down. They were with the master. And he said to the master, "Please, I pray, go with us." If the master was not there, can you imagine what could happen? Let me hit the nail at the head now. Can I hit it? Many apostolic ministers, many apostolic members, many people who call themselves pastors, they have the axe fallen and they are still working with the stick, cutting the stick, because they don't want to be ashamed to say that my axe is fallen. Yeah, come on. Yeah,
You know, the axe is the anointing of God. The axe is the anointing of God. And let us be sincere and truly. You know that sometimes anointing goes down. And you are low. Sometimes the anointing is not there. But because we are ministers for many years, we can still minister without the anointing. And we start ministering without anointing. That time, the axe is down. And people are ashamed to say, my anointing is down. This man was not sinning. He was doing something good. But the anointing went off. How many ministers, even to today, can say, I don't have anointing today. Pastor, can you pray with me? If anybody is to preach, regardless the anointing is there or not, he has to preach. And that is the problem we have. And that's why we are missing the anointing, the anointed message of God in the churches. Because I am the pastor, I will preach. And this is my time to preach. I have to preach because I am a pastor. Either you have the anointing or not. And then when the axe falls down, you need somebody to put it on. Don't continue cutting a tree. You know, it's very hard to cut a tree with a stick. Come on, just imagine that. I have one here. Now the axe is fallen now. The axe is not there. And I'm trying to cut what? A tree with a tree. How many years will I cut one? How many years will I cut a tree down? A tree like this. I'm cutting a tree with a tree. The axe is fallen. The anointing of God, when the anointing goes down and is no longer with you, is just like cutting a tree with a tree, with a stick. It will take you more than 50 years to just get one log, and maybe you will never. Have you asked yourself? You know, I thank God for them that knows the truth. When I am the bishop, if we go with you in Kenya, I am a bishop of 43 churches now with 102 pastors that work under me. And that is the truth. But let me tell you, there is some time my anointing is down. I need to call a minister to pray with me. I know I'm preaching tonight, but I don't feel the anointing of God. Please pray with me. Let me say this. Where did you lose your anointing? Now, this is another big thing here. People lose the anointing, but they don't want to say where it is. Come on. You lose anointing because you argued with your wife and until and then anointing goes down. Man, anointing is down. I don't mind you, a pastor. Come on, I have been a pastor for 26 years. I know what is the pastor and the family. Sometimes things go to, I can kill somebody now. but only by the grace of God I cannot do that. But let me tell you this. There come a time, even pastors and elders, when the time is very rough in your family. And you know what? The church appointed you to preach that time. Are you going to cut a tree with a stick? Sometimes we try to cut a tree with a stick. When you don't have anointing, you don't have anointing. Please. Some people lose anointing because of what they are doing. Let me give you a good example so that maybe you can understand. And I believe that you are understanding. There is a big river here, Mississippi. Where does this river start? Where does this river? There's a river here. Where does it start? It starts wherever. Massachusetts. Let us give an example. Somebody is cutting a tree in Massachusetts. And the axe falls there. Now he's coming to tell the pastor, my axe is fallen. You know, it's when people come to you as a pastor and they tell you, I have a silent prayer. I don't see what I did, but I want a silent prayer. And then the axe is down and you want a silent prayer. When the minister is asking you, where did your anointed went? You say, but I want a silent prayer. No, where is the axe? Unspoken. Oh, we call them unspoken. But please, I have an unspoken. But the axe is down. Tell us where the axe is, man. Because now, if you don't tell us where the axe is, you want me to come from Massachusetts, trying to get your axe, until maybe Connecticut, you go past Connecticut, you go where? Come on, until to the ocean, and I'm not seeing the axe, and you know where the axe is? Please tell us where the axe is! And you just say, you know what, Pastor, I quarreled with my wife. And things are very hard. I don't feel anointing today because I quarreled with my wife.
Right. That's good.
This is a silent prayer. This is unspoken. Please, I have unspoken. Come on, your axe is down and we want to know where it is. Come on, show the pastor where the axe is so that he can just get a stick. It will be very easy to get it. But now, what the pastors are doing is to go from Massachusetts, going all over to the ocean, trying to get your axe. Oh, Father, you know what he did, oh Lord. You know what he need, oh Lord Jesus. So, please, come on. I will not go from Massachusetts to the ocean trying to get what you have. You know where it is. Tell where it is. Tell me where the axe fall. No, unspoken. Yeah, it's good to have unspoken, but your axe is down. We don't want to go and find it. We want to take it to you. We want to get it to you. You just see what this man said. But as one of his falling log, an axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, Alarm, my master, it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fell? Where? That's the first question. Are you losing your anointing? Why are you losing your anointing? You are backbiting a lot. Why are you losing your anointing? You need to zip. Well, not unspoken now. We don't want unspoken. What is happening with the anointing? What is happening with the anointing? No, you know what? I have a lot of weakness. I saw that man. I'm not married, and I was thinking about it. You know, so you know, we are human beings. Tell the truth. See, I have a demon, which is disturbing me, and Pastor, help me, get me out of these demons. So this is not unspoken. It's a demon. You are possessed by a demon, and you don't want to say you are possessed. You just want to say unspoken. Now, who knows what is unspoken? It's only you. I don't want to say that God does not know you. I know. God knows. But there's only one thing I want to tell you here. Many scholars and theologians will say is missing the context of the scripture. But let me tell you the truth. It is not. If you want to be healed, show the doctor where you are sick. And the pastor is your doctor. And now you want to say, if you are sick here, you want to say, it's the holy body. The whole body? Yes. Doctor, I am sick. Yes, you are sick. That's why you are in my office, because you are sick. No, but tell me, where are you sick? The whole body. Come on! What is the whole body? If your head is aching, say, my head is aching. You know, in my country, we have a lot of problem with AIDS.
Because we don't have medicines. AIDS kill people in thousands. Now, maybe you have the transmission, sex transmission diseases. You know, I don't know how you call them here. But you have it. And you know where it is. And you don't want to say where it is. So how will the doctor treat you? This man of God asked him, where did it fell? And he said, here. And you know the problem is when people don't see where it fell. Because you will use 60 days trying to get it, and you will never get it. This man said, where did it fell? When he showed him the place, he cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron flow. The iron will flow when the stick pointed. The iron will flow when the stick pointed. It's true that we have, sometimes we go out of anointing of God. It's true as ministers. And sometimes let us be ourselves to tell the truth that I am weak now. And I need your prayers. I thank God for my wife. I have a good, good wife. And sometimes she put me straight like this. I try to go like this. Come on here. Here. Put me in right. You know, sometimes I'm very weak. And I want to say, you know what? Start praying now. You did not fast. You did not pray this week. You did not fast this week. And we always go very early in the morning in prayers. We go 6 to 7. Every day. 7 days a week. Every day. 6 to 7. We have to be in the church. Church is just next to us. And we pray 1 full hour. And mostly that time I was a director of the program, drug addiction program. And I was going the whole hour in prayer and teaching. And you know what? When I miss it, sometimes I am weak. And sometimes if I don't tell the truth, to go to my fellow pastor and tell him, you know what, pastor? I am weak this time. Why do we hide? Why don't we want to speak the truth? Come on, let us be ourselves. As Christians, let us be ourselves. And when you are not strong, you know, when you are not strong, you just say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, that is the hamburger you ate. You ate a hamburger? You know the burger you ate? That's, yeah, it can make you sound like you have the Holy Ghost. Because you are strong, you have eaten your stomach. Hallelujah! That's the hamburger, man. That's not the Holy Ghost. It's a hamburger. Not the Holy Ghost. It's not what you ate. It's to have the anointing of God. Why sometimes we don't have anointing of God? Because we sin and we don't want to tell a man of God what went wrong. And we just want to say unspoken. Then the pastor will try, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He will get nothing and nothing will be solved. Come on, what is our duty then? What happened to this man? He pointed it. Say this here. Many people, let me say this. You know, we are all grown up and we are Christian and we are apostolic. So we have to speak the truth because we are apostolic. If I could be in another church which is not apostolic, I could hide this because it is very hard. You commit adultery, you go and fornicate, you don't want to speak the truth, it gets all your anointing down, and then you come to the church pretending that you are still the same man we know. Hallelujah! With a lot of hamburger. I'm telling you, this is not hamburger issue. It's the anointing of God. If you have sinned against God, you need to know what to do to be right with God before you do anything else. This is not a matter of going to the church.
is to have a relationship with God. Is to have a relationship with God. It is not a matter of being a member of a church. It's not to be a member of a good church. But it is to have a relationship with God. You know what? I'm speaking to somebody today. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to somebody. I'm feeling this now. If you have sinned against God, go and repent. And come right with your God. And your anointing will be back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If I cannot tell you this, then I'm not telling you the truth. You have to know that when you have committed a sin, it is life until when you will pronounce it. It is life until when you will repent it. Many anointings goes down because people don't want to repent. They don't want to repent. They just want it to go like, forget about it. And it is following you. Some people have got demons of adultery, fornication. Some people lies. Some people, you know, some people, they are just like radios. Okay? And apostolic. What you have to do is just to sweep it. That's what we need to do. And be a good apostolic. Now, let me ask you, where did your act fail? That's the question that the man of God is asking. Where did your act fail? And then what do you do? The man of God, what is the man of God, what man of God will do? Do you know what a man of God will do? Simple, very simple. Where did it fail? Here. And then if the man of God get it, he will not get it for you. Can you read the last verse here? What does it say? The last verse. It says this. When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron foot. And he said, what did he say? Take it up. It is not the pastor to go and repent on your behalf. It's not the pastor to go and repent on your behalf. It is your job to go and repent. If the axe will flow, it's not the pastor to take it. It is you to take it. You know, many people say, pastor, go and pray about this. No, the pastor will never repent for the sin that you have done. You have to repent it because you did it. Did the pastor do it? He did not. Why is he repenting? He's right with God. So what you have to know is that if you sin, you go and repent yourself. But the man of God will help you to show you the way. And that's why he's pointing a stick. He's showing you the way to repent. And then the floor, and then you get it, you put it back. And cut. Truly this. Before I finish. Truly. Never try. To cut a stick. To cut a tree with a stick. One thing it will do. Your hands. What will happen? Your hands happen? No. It bruises your hands. And you know what? You are bruising your hand doing nothing. Because you cannot cut a stick. A tree with a stick. And you, that's why you see sometimes you are trying your best and you are doing nothing. Let me ask you a question. How many people have come to Christ through your preachings? We want you to go and cut a tree today. When you leave this place, go and cut a tree, man. You have to preach somebody the truth. You know, everywhere I go, like today, I gave 3 cards that I have of this church. I gave it to some people here. And they asked me, do you have this church here? And it's just next. I don't know. They don't know there's a church. What we have to do is to go out now and get flyers. Tell people there is something happening here. Jesus is here. God is coming. God is here. You just don't mind. Give me. You're planting a seed. You don't know who will come. But we have now to go and witness out. We don't have business to be in the church all time without witnessing outside. Here we do come and equip ourselves. We are equipping ourselves here. But when we go there, it's to work hard and get our acts right and start cutting trees. Cutting trees. And you see, tomorrow you come with a big log. You make it fall here. And here it is. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, as I told another church, it's only one army that fights a bad fight. When you go to the field to fight an enemy, if your brother is short, what do? You help him do what? Make it to the camp. You just get him and run with him. Because you don't want him to be killed by what? By enemies. But Christians, they are not like that. You know what? They get that you are short in this leg and you are going like this. You can't even walk. They come and beat and knock their good leg. They knock it, you are down. That's what they do. You know, you're just doing like this, going like this. You are almost dying. And they come, they kick the other leg, you are down. They want you down. That's the army we have. But we have to correct ourselves now. We have to say no to what is happening in this world. What is our duties to the weak now? Go to the book of Acts 20, verse 35. What is the duties? What is our duties to then people who are weak? What's the duties? Acts 20 and verse 35. Can somebody get me? Okay, do you have it? I can read it now. In all things, I have showed you that by so toiling one must help the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessing to give than to receive. Now, the word here is weak. Helping the weak. Helping the weak, either financially or the life that we are living in now. It may be not financial, but it may be spiritual. And he may be very weak. And Paul here is reminding us the words of the Lord. He said, it's better to help the weak people so that they can make it. And that's our duty. Wherever you are going to be in this life of a Christian life, the apostolic way of life is to help the weak, mostly spiritually, that they can make it in heaven. Because we don't have to fight each other. In the book of Romans 14 verse 1, please. Romans 14 verse 1. I read it if you have it. As for the man who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not for disputes over opinions. What do we have to do? Welcome those people. Welcome them. How many times have we welcomed the weak people? Do we kill the weak people? Do we destroy them? What is our work? Our work in this church must be helping the weak to make it. 15 verse 1 of the same book of Romans. We who are strong ought to bear with the failing of the weak. And not to please ourselves. Sometimes we feel we are apostolic and we are making it. And you see people who are weak, you look them down. And you say you are useless and you are nothing. Come on, you may think that you don't say that. But what of? When you see me, I have a lot of weakness, and you don't come help me make it. When you don't help me make it, what do you want to say? You want to say, get him down. Forget about him. Because I'm strong. And no, that's not the way we can live. That's not the apostolic way. Okay, if you go 1 Corinthians 9 verse 22, please.
Hallelujah.
This is our duties to the weak people. People that are weak. And you may forget anything else. But please never forget to build the weak people that they can be strong enough, they can make it. And mostly when you see many of genuine apostolics, there are very few in the churches. And do you know why? In our churches, we can preach and bring a lot of people at once. Not like in America. But you know what I've seen in America the 1 year I've been here? People know how to judge people, but they don't want to say. What they do, they just despise you, but they don't want to say. They just go as holy people, the Pharisees type of people. They are very holy. And they will be 3, 4, 5 in the church because they don't know how to bring weak people up. I wish I'll have a class to people who would like to know more about evangelism and how to make, I call that crossing the back door of the church. You know, because people come in the front door and they go the back door. I wish I will have time, if the pastor give me time, we will go through why people go in the front door and go at the back door. And now what I will say, we'll just try to get a topic that crossing the back door of a church, your church, we need to cross that door so that when people come, there's no outlet. It's an ocean. There's no outlet. And tomorrow we'll have about 50,000 members here. Because there is no outlet. You know, how many people have passed here? Just come today, they go. Come today. What are they looking? What are they miss? But I'm not in that. Let me just forget that. And we will talk about that when it comes. Now, to the weak, I become weak. That I might win the weak, I have become all things to all men, that I might, by all means, save some. Let us read that again. Praise the Lord. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might, by all means, save some. Elijah was a strong man, but he was with sons of prophets who were weak. And you see what he did. When they went to cut the rocks, the axe fall, he did not say, you are very careless. Why did you do that? The good question he asked, where did it fail? How many times have we killed the babies? And then sometime I call the spiritual abortion. You know spiritual abortion? Is when a young Christian come, or maybe a man from the streets come here and come to the church, sit down there, and maybe she's a lady, or she's just with a little miniskirt and everything is out, and she's sitting down here. She don't know what happens in this church. She don't know. And then you start, it's not a church, man. Kind of. You greet people, and you get to her. I call that spiritual abortion.
You're right.
I'm telling you, people will be judged in heaven. When the outside there, people are going to be judged by abortion. There is a spiritual abortion here in the churches where you just despise the young in faith that you don't want even to do nothing with them, and that is to kill them. And if you kill them, I'm telling you, you are going to be judged, because that's a spiritual abortion. That baby is going to die. And if that baby dies, I'm telling you, God will be on you.
and you'll be answerable. He will count on you that you did that. So why don't I make one person to come in the church and make him stay? Because Jesus was a friend of a sinner.
Yes,
he was friend to sinners. You remember one day he went to Simon, and he went there and he sit down. A harlot just came. Jesus is there. He sit down and start crying and weeping with it. You know what? The Pharisees, the apostolic church in that time, very spiritual. They don't want to do anything with sinners. They said, I thought he was a prophet. That's what they said. I thought he was a prophet. He could know who this lady is. Jesus read their mind. You know what Jesus said? I'm sorry, Simon. When I came here, you did not give me even water to wash my feet. But this lady, she just came and do all these things to me. And I'm telling you from today, wherever the scriptures will go, be read, your story will be read. And from that time, she became a follower of Christ Jesus. I wish we can make these people that are drug addiction, addicted, and those people, prostitutes, and all these people, make them our friends so that we can win one. I wish we can go down there, and maybe we can get somebody tomorrow. I want to make some little flyers here because I like that. I wish my wife was here. My wife is a tough lady. You know what she do? When we go a place like this, she's known almost 3 days. Everybody knows that there was somebody here because she go on the street saying, "My name is Mercy Paul, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you come to our church, please? Can you come?" We went to a hotel one day with her it is Portland, Oregon. We went there to preach, and we went to a hotel and where we were sleeping, the motel, and we went to the restaurant there. You know what? I had some cards like this. He went to everybody, "Oh, hi, praise the Lord. Can you come to our church?" "Oh, this is the address to our church. Please attend." And you know what? We got 3 people in the church. Just because come on, why don't we be friends of sinners? Why do we make ourselves very righteous people? That we cannot even a little be friends to the sinners. Look here, if Elisha could say that, "I am strong man, I don't need to go with you people. You are very weak to go with you." This man could lose an axe. And that's true. But why did he get that axe? Because the man of God came low to where they were and went with them. You know, sometimes it's good when you have a house fellowship, your pastor to come and say hi to you. You know, that's good. And people feel good. So what do I want to say? When are we going to be friends to the weak people? And those weak people, to make them, they win and make it in heaven. In the last, maybe the last book that I can read is Isaiah. Oh, that 5 and verses 3. Isaiah, that 5 verse 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The book of Isaiah, that 5 verse 3, and says, "Strengthen the weak hands and confirm the bowed knees." Does your Bible say that? Isaiah 35. Yes. 35 and 3. What does it say? Can you read it? Yes. Say, read it again. That's our duty now. If you are apostolic, I'm telling you, your work now, the weak hands that are going down like this, yours is to lift them up. The shaking knees, they cannot even walk. Weak in the spirit. You have to make it stand. And that they can walk. That's your work. How many have been doing that? I'm sorry. I don't want to see the hands now. I don't want to see the hands today. But I would like to ask. Don't show your hands. But how many of us have been strengthening the hands that are going up, are going low down, and the weak knees that are almost fell down? How many of us have lifted them and say, God, I thank you for this man, for he is your servant. Sometimes people want to say that they are very strong. They cannot deal with the weak people. This is what the Bible says in the book of Galatians 6. Galatians 6 and verses 1. Galatians 6. Can we open there, please? Galatians 6, verse 1, and it reads, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, can we read that again? Ye who are spiritual, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What do we do when somebody is tempted? We just fight him, knock him down, kill him, put him in. That's what people do. And that's what we do because we talk it. It's the gospel of the day that time. It's the gospel of the day. When you see a weak man goes down, that's the gospel of our day. And everybody is speaking about it. But let me ask you, why should we not lift up these people that are weak so that they can make it in the kingdom? Can we all stand, please? It's good sometime to know that. It's not all time. Sometime we are weak and we need people to get us up. We need people to show us the way. Sometime we are very weak. The anointing is not there. The anointing has gone down. We need people to bring us up. How are we going to do this if we don't have the really oneness of God? Well, the Bible says that we have to be one in Christ Jesus. We have to be one in Christ Jesus. In this conference, if there is something we need to do, is to look for a weak person. Look for a weak person to make him strong. Because that is what God wants. God is telling us now, there is weak people in our midst. When are we going to make them stand? When are we going to make Bible study with them? Just get your 2 hours to make a Bible study with a weak person. No, I'm very busy, Paul, you don't understand. Then don't claim to be spiritual. Because the Bible says, you that are spiritual, do what? Bear weakness. Bear these people that are weakness in their fault. Now, if you don't have even 10 minutes to start the Bible with a weak person, what are we doing? Why are we apostolic? Are we apostolic by name? You know, there are very many apostolics by name. They are apostolic, but they are not. It's just a name. I don't think we need a name apostolic, but we have to be apostolic. We have to be apostolic. Not just a name of apostolic. Because apostolic people are them that are strong, that are bearing weak ones and give them up in the kingdom. Can we all lift up our hands? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we pray. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Maybe you want to come to the altar and pray that the Lord will give you, will lift you up and lift the weak people up. You may just come to the altar and start crying to your God. It's now between you and your God now. It's just between you and your God. Start crying to the Lord. Up your hands now. Just lift up your hands and start now crying to your God. Say, God, I want to be strong. Holy Ria, Baba, thank you, Lord Jesus of Nazareth, O Lord. You see them that are before us now, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that you go with them, O Lord. Hallelujah, Jehovah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus of Nazareth. Found thy place. Thank you, Lord Jesus of Nazareth. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray that you see this little Lord. You know how Lord Jesus Christ meets her needs now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus of Nazareth. I adore you, for you are my God, O Lord. Meet the needs of this young man, O Lord. He knows you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us put our hands together and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Until the time the Lord will allow us to be together. God bless you.
My goodness. That's good. Amen. I feel like we're just in camp meeting. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's all come up here. We don't have to stop now. Amen. If your axe head has fallen, you know where it is. Right there. Amen. Let's ask God to help us. Help us to really come above, up to the surface with and put it all together. We're kind of in preliminaries of things to come. And there are people coming here. There's some on the way that are searching. And they're coming here because they have heard the report. They've heard the report. They've been listening. They've been watching. And now they're saying, I want in on it. And we need to be our best when they get here. There doesn't need to be anything lacking. Not one thing. If you have a tendency to hold back, break that and go forward. Amen. If you have a tendency to think two ways, get rid of anything that's not of God and go all the way with God. The best thing you can do in a revival meeting, if you're a child of God, is shake off every snake that wants to destroy your consecration. Hallelujah. Right now, let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the Lord bless you tonight. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.